Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, 603-283-6160. That's the number you can call in to get on the air with us. 603-283-6160. It's the final hour tonight of Free Talk Live. And we do have a call on the line, so I'm going to go straight into it. But first, in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
And secondly, I also have to read a Dash ad. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. BigRefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. What about paying your bills? Spritz.finance can do that, and they can send dollars to your bank account in case you need those for some reason still. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. Dash.org. And moving right into the calls, we have Mr. Hathaway in Arizona. Mr. Hathaway, David, what is on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Bonnie, Peakless, and Richie.
Hi.
Sitting here with my wife, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
You know, I had a couple things to talk about. First off,
thank you for the lollipops.
Oh, yeah, he ate them.
Are you the one that ate it?
I'm Bonnie the only one that ate it.
Yeah, he ate both of them.
Did you eat the scorpion also?
Of course I did. Apparently, yeah, it is a lot like popcorn that gets stuck between your teeth. That's how I would describe it.
Yeah, well, Bonnie pointed out one of them had the little stinger thing on the tail, and the other one didn't. So I don't know if it had an extra pop on the one if you ate the poison or
no. I didn't think either of them had the stinger.
No, maybe not the actual stinger, but they had one of them had an extra piece to the tail that was a different color, and one of them didn't have that. So I was what the heck is that? Like a poison sac?
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. I survived.
He just ate the scorpion.
I hope so.
Slowly, because it didn't come out of the lollipop right away. Right,
I'm hoping you survived, so we don't have some kind of sixth sense kind of setup here. Well,
I made it through the doorway. Okay, fair enough.
Well, what's on your mind, David?
Yeah, a couple of things. First, I want to start out talking about, I've written to Ian a couple of times, and then there was a comment, I think it was on last night's show or the night before, where somebody said, don't use weird kinds of paper. And the first letter I wrote was on the airplane flying back. They had the little vomit bag that's in the pocket in front of you, and I wrote a letter on that, and I continued it on the napkin. It was like an American Airlines napkin. So I did write a letter to him on weird paper, and I'm wondering if that would be rejected.
So he received that. I've spoken to him, and he said they just, I guess, decided to be nice, because when they were in this exact jail before, I wrote nobody a really pretty little note that I wrote him, and it was on just a small piece of notebook paper, and they rejected it. But for your letter this time, they photocopied it and gave it to Ian, which was just like, unexpected. Like, I don't know.
Courtesy.
I've never heard of them. Yeah, just actually decide to be nice. So he received that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's because you share it.
I thought about that.
Another thing I was wondering is on the books. I sent him a couple of new books and then a couple of used books because they were cheaper. And then I read on some website that you can't send used books to a jail. They can only have new books. Do you know about that?
Yeah, they have to be from Amazon. They have to be from Amazon as the seller. And I'm pretty sure that they do have to be new because the idea is, oh, you could have known the seller, told the seller to put drugs in the book, and then sent it to a prisoner. But
that was
yeah,
my idea.
Okay.
I don't think you'll get them back either. Like, I think you just kind of lose the money for it, so that sucks. But he did
I was going to ask you that. Like, yeah, if I would get notification or send it back. But were you saying he got some of them?
They didn't tell him who these books were from, but he was wondering if this book about a DEA agent who uncovered some terrible murder and then got basically... it's a true story. So this DEA agent found out that another DEA agent tortured and killed a DEA agent and made it seem like the cartel did it. And then when he uncovered that and tried to bring it to light, the DEA was like all turning their backs on him and they didn't give him a ceremony.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
I sent that one, and it turned out to actually be a CIA agent that led the interrogation and the torture of Kiki Camarena, and another DEA agent that was running that investigation, and I was also part of that investigation. We uncovered that there were CIA involvement in that because they had pilots that were using this Rafael Caro Quintero, his airstrip to smuggle, guns to the Contras in Nicaragua and to smuggle cocaine back into the U.S. And then the CIA agent, and there's actually a cassette tape of the recording of him leading the interrogation and the torture death. But, yeah, I did.
Oh, my gosh.
I did send that one. Another one that I sent that he probably won't get. There was like a history, hardback history of Keene, New Hampshire, just a generic history book.
Oh,
and
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the new version was expensive, though. It was like $50. So then I found the used one on some Amazon reseller, and I'm thinking, yeah, he's probably not going to wind up getting that one. But
he has not received that, or at least he hasn't told me he has, and usually he always updates me about what books he has. And I think he'd be, like, excited about that, so he probably didn't get it. So, sorry about that. I really hope that they do something like return to sender and then you get your money back, but I haven't tried it, and Richard just shaking his head like...
Probably not. Why would they?
Yeah, they don't care about anyone. So.
Yeah, we'd just probably go back to whatever the Amazon reseller was, and then they'd get the money. Maybe I'll get it credited back. I can probably figure it out if I get the money credited back, if it gets returned to the seller. But anyway, the other thing I was wanting to talk about is I always get invited to make speeches here. I got invited to do the Veterans Day speech and then be the keynote speaker to the Democrat Club. And it's kind of hard to do those things on the Veterans Day speech. Like, I don't, the same people show up to all those. There are kind of a lot of warmongers, you know, cheering for foreign wars and all that. So at first I said no, and then I agreed to do it. And then I just kind of searched on the internet to try to find how do you do a peace speech on Veterans Day. And then I actually found something from JFK, from John F. Kennedy from 1961, where it was a pretty good anti-war speech, and I plagiarized parts of that, so I'm writing that up. And I also was the keynote speaker to the local Democrat Club yesterday. Karen went along with me to that. And actually, it's not too hard to speak to a group of Democrats if you remind them that what their roots are. So I reminded them in the 1960s and 70s, Democrats were anti-war. They were against the Vietnam War. Nice. You know, they were, and I told them about the Uniparty, and they're all kind of shaking their heads like they hadn't heard that term. And I was telling them,
even in George W. Bush's reign, they were anti-war. That was the majority of the ones showing up at the anti-war rallies, which were the biggest ones since the 60s.
I'll just interject
and
real quick.
Them that the Clintons, you know, Hillary and Bill Clinton, they're both, you know, still heroes of the Democrats nowadays. I reminded them during their college years, they were protesters against the Vietnam War, and they also were protesting the drug war. You know, you should be able to, you know, smoke a joint if you want. And they were protesters of police brutality and how we have high rates of imprisonment in the U.S. and that Democrats traditionally were against those things, locking people up for victimless crimes. So it's just, you know, I want to make sure I'm not two-faced, I'm not disingenuous, you know, that I don't say different things to different groups, but just kind of finding, like, what resonates with the group. So those were two speeches I was not looking forward to doing, but there's kind of a way, like it was sort of a history lesson for the younger ones yesterday in this Democrat club that, you know, like I'm 64 and, you know, so when I went through elementary school, it was Vietnam War and high school was in the 70s. So, you know, I remember all that, but kind of the younger Democrats don't know. Well, you know, it's kind of the Democrat legacy to be for peace and anti-war. And I told them there's this thing that I'm sure you guys have heard called the Uniparty, where at the D.C. level, they're kind of indistinguishable, you know, Democrats and Republicans. The way they campaign is they say, look, you better vote for us because if not, you'll get that other guy and look how bad he is. Mm-hmm. And they both basically say that, but they don't stand for anything. And I also remind them about corporatism. They're supposedly, you know, they were...
About that. Corporatism? Yeah. No, that the left used to be against corporations and corporate power.
Yeah.
It's been so long.
Yeah, the whole autism thing was first coming along. Those are Democrat groups that pointed out that the pharmaceutical companies are pushing, you know, oxycodone, you know, opiate-based pain relievers, and then there were massive lawsuits against them. And the Democrats were saying, look, these big corporations, you know, Pfizer and Merck and all these people, they have crony relationships with the government, you know, big tobacco and all that stuff, the military-industrial complex. Those used to be Democrat issues. So, you know, I didn't beat them over the head with every issue, but tried to just do a history lesson to remind them, hey, these used to be Democrat issues, you know, anti-corporate stuff, anti-crony stuff.
See, and I'm, again, pro-opiates, because I've tried CBD oils for pain relief, and I've tried THC cream for pain relief, and you know what works? Oxy.
I love opiates, but in the form of Kratom.
Yeah, I believe everyone has the right to choose what their medicines are going to be.
Yeah, well,
and just because, like, those are no-no medicines, no, that's absurd.
And I did want to say, like, I feel like I've been fast and loose or whatever it is with Kratom on the air. And I do want to point out that it's addictive to people because I think I just have a strong constitution, like, in the way that, like, whenever I feel like, it's starting to not affect me as much, and I feel like I need to take more, or I'm, like, it's consuming my life, I'm able to just be like, stop, take a break for a while, and I don't think a lot of people are, so, or would be, so, just pointing that out.
Well, I just feel like people in the community poo-poo the pharmaceuticals in favor of, like, the natural cannabis.
Hey, and if that works for me. If that works, try it first, but if it doesn't work, then, yeah.
I did. That's the thing. I did. I tried the oils, I tried the cream, pharmaceuticals work.
Yeah, and you can look online and you can see in the old days, Bayer aspirin with heroin, you know, like, and they had a thing called, you know,
they invented it.
I don't know if that's still out there. And it's like alcohol with, you know, mixed with opiates. And, you know, like if all drugs were legal, it's not like my mom or, you know, my grandma would become like a heroin addict or something like
straight
that. You
to
know,
the mouth.
People would, it would, you know,
or the ecstasy, the MDMA.
Those things, you know, as needed back in those days. Yeah. But when the government gets involved, you know, then, you know, that it becomes a problem.
And they start, you know, putting people who are going to have a drug problem anyway in jail and compounding other problems.
Take this pill.
Yeah, I'm all over the come at the right from the right and the left from the left. Because the things that people really feel good about that being one of their team issues tend to be the things that we're awesome at anyway.
Right.
Well,
like
maybe. Because there's a whole bunch of Trump supporters mad at Trump for the still pushing the vaccine, even though it was his idea to begin with, right? Because Joe Biden ran with it. All of a sudden, they're like, nope, they're booing Trump on stage when he was like, take the vaccine, you know, Operation Warp Speed. This
right, he's not coming at the right from the right.
But that's where it started.
I'm going to pass the phone to Karen. She actually got inspired. Oh. She gave you the little crocheted donkey and the little bear, but she got inspired to make some crocheted porcupines, and she's made a couple since. And I'm going to pass the phone to her.
Hi.
Hi, Karen. I showed your porcupine, the picture you sent, on my Twitter, and tons of people liked it. I said, a visitor made this after just a short visit to the Free State and had a picture of the porcupine, and everybody on Twitter loved it.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I enjoyed trying to make that.
Anything else on your mind?
You should integrate real needles to give it some quills.
Well, thanks you guys so much for the support and for the call. I really appreciate you guys and anyone who would write to Ian. That's just means the world to me, and I know it does to Ian too, because he doesn't have a lot to do in there and it's really boring. So thank you guys for calling and for that clarification for anybody else interested in sending him a book or a letter.
And the only other thing I was going to suggest to David is if he's looking for a script fodder, right, throw that prompt at the ChatGPT.
Oh, yeah.
And see what draft that starts you with.
That works out so well sometimes. We have another call. I'm not sure if this is going to work. It says JTL inmate call. So, caller, you're on the air with us, I think. What's on your mind? Hello? Yeah, it doesn't seem like it was going to work. Well, David was still on. I just clicked the screen button, so I think it probably did something like where I had to press 1, and I wasn't able to do that. I would only be able to do that if they called during the break, so if they're still listening, they should call during the break right after 9:29.
We do have a caller that occasionally will call in from prison.
Yeah, so. We've had other ones. I don't think I've ever taken them, so okay. I don't know how to answer them outside the break, but I might have to do it on the break. Anyways, we have this story from the Wall Street Journal, and Richie Rich brought this in. It's kind of funny to me. It says that there are people who are reinventing the sick day.
It's millennials and Gen Z.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably doing. More of Gen Z.
Can I have it in a vape, please?
There you go.
I need a sick day in vape form.
If they can't vape during work, then they're not even going to apply.
I want a caffeine vape.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It's a thing.
Right? Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah, it's a thing. Yeah.
I'd never heard of that.
Look it up.
It's like no nicotine?
No nicotine.
I mean, I don't really want to do it because all the other ingredients is more what I'm worried about. It's like all the
whatever
syrups,
it's got
poisons.
Like a B12 vape, too.
That's crazy.
That's wild. Getting all of your vitamins in vape form.
It's what the millennials and the Gen Zers want, man.
It's the only way to upgrade from the Flintstones gummies, really.
This is from Taiping Chen for the Wall Street Journal. They say, the bar for taking a sick day is getting lower, and some bosses say that's a problem.
Yeah.
U.S. workers have long viewed an unwillingness to take sick days as a badge of honor.
You know why? Because you get the little certificate in grade school for having perfect attendance.
Yeah, that's what I was immediately thinking of. I never had those.
I've seen recognition in different workplaces for people who had perfect attendance for the year.
Yeah, see?
Sometimes even a bonus.
Wow.
She's been here for 40 years and never missed a day in her life.
Right.
Wow. That's just
poor lady.
Sad. Yeah.
Right.
That's a Laurel Workers care. Wait, what? That's a Laurel Workers care much less about these days. Okay,
Laurel being a particular
prize.
Honor, like you would, you'd get a Laurel for winning the Olympics
like
back in the day. Yeah.
It says the number of sick days Americans take annually has soared since the pandemic. Employee payroll data show COVID-19 and a rise in illnesses such as RSV, which can require days away from work, are one reason. Sure. I'm pretty sure it's mostly,
I just need a mental health day.
That kind of stuff. Managers
I need to take care of me today.
And plus like during, quote unquote, the pandemic, there were like a huge slackening of the reins in work anyway. Like people got used to doing stuff like working from home and stuff like that. Quitting their jobs because their jobs suddenly sucked. That's what I did. But I didn't even go on welfare like everyone else. I just went and did Uber Eats. And that was like such a slackening of the reins. I never went back to a normal job ever again in my life. Well, except the Moose Mart, but they're pretty, they're not, you know, slave drivers over there.
You don't have to take a sick day, you just don't show up and it's okay.
No.
Bonnie's not here today.
I was a great, worker at Moose Mart. They love me.
Or the meetup restaurant that just randomly closes some nights and then we can't have the meetup there.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I think
we don't have anyone willing to work.
Well, I mean, most jobs, have been slave drivers and have been moving in that sort of generally less human kind of environment. And that was somewhat acceptable back when we could potentially ever buy a house.
Yeah.
But at this point, people are like, what, you're going to treat me like absolute garbage, and it's never going to help me. I'm going to be in debt for the rest of my life and never afford anything. Why would I not take an extra sick day?
Right. Or at least just, like, do a job that's super easy. Like, whenever I was doing Uber Eats, I was making just as much money during... I was making more money during the pandemic than I would be if I stayed at my waitress job where nobody was allowed to come inside and we were just giving people to-go orders. Like, that was an obvious, you know, idea. And then even then, I would quit all my other jobs in between then. That wasn't, like, when I first started doing Uber Eats. I would, like, go be like, okay, this is getting, like, a lot for me. I need to go get a real job. I'd work at Walmart for a few months, and I'd be like, you scheduled me on Halloween? I'm quitting. I can always just do Uber Eats. And I didn't have to go be in a building for 8 hours a day, which 8 hours is just ridiculous to me, seriously. Like, I just don't want to be in some stupid building for 8 hours a day. You should at least offer there to be, like, you know, like, I would work every single day if it was, like, five-hour days.
Okay.
More likely than I would want to have even a just part-time job, eight-hour days. I mean, it ruins your whole life.
I hear what you're saying, but the other day was, like, a nice day here in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss was like, hey, I'll give you a 10-minute break if you just want to go outside and enjoy the weather. I was like, no, I don't care about being outside. Like,
to me, it's not really, like, being indoors or outdoors. It's being stuck and not being able to go okay. Do things I want to actually do.
All right. Well, I mean, that's fair, and that's the leisure time,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I mean, it's...
Well, and schedule flexibility. Like you were saying, you did Uber Eats, and that's ultimate schedule flexibility of, like, if I need 5 minutes, I can just take 5 minutes between my deliveries.
Right.
No, I get you, but it's a Doug Stanhope bit, but it's like, you know, work five to get two. You know, who wants to do that? Well, everyone did, right? You work five... And then, like, your leisure time is the other 2 days.
Yeah, and then they suck because you're like, oh, I'm going to have to go to work in 2 days the whole time.
But that's your fault for having the mentality that your days off are going to suck because work is on the horizon.
Well, no, I would argue that is actually the fault of money printing.
Okay. Yeah, it really
so
is.
All of this work that we've done to advance technology so that we would have these labor-saving devices, so that we'd have absolute pinnacle efficiency in getting our resources where they need to go, and we still only have 2 days off. That is because the system is rigged to keep it that way. It's not because we actually need to work that much.
That's fine, but if you're upset, if you're spending your 2 days off lamenting that you have to be at work in a couple of days, right, then that's misuse of mental work, mental brain.
That's just how bad the jobs I've had mostly have sucked. And I've never, like, had any kind of passion
like you spend
for...
Your time at, you spend your time at work going, all right, weekend's coming. You know, can't, I'm excited at work because 2 days from now I get a day off.
Not really. I spent my time at, like, for example, hotel jobs thinking, like, F you idiot, to these idiots who are trying to talk to me like I'm some kind of a slave. Not just my bosses, but mostly the people who work there. Like, if you work in hotels, you know, the people who stay at, like, it can be an Econo Lodge, and the people who stay there are suddenly, like, royalty, because, you know.
I'm good at compartmentalizing that, man, because once I'm off the clock, I'm off the clock mentally. Mm. All of a sudden, it's like, all right, what am I eating? Where am I going? What am I playing tonight? What movies am I watching? Like, that's, you know, Monday morning, roll out of bed, like, oh, man, now
I'm
going
to be one of those people that would do the sci-fi treatment to have, like, work you and weekend you be literally different people.
Sure.
What do you think? Am I lazy? 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You USA News update. 20 trucks carrying the first humanitarian aid supplies to Gaza were allowed to pass the border crossing between Egypt and Gaza, which opened briefly Saturday for the first time since Israel sealed it off following the attack by Hamas 2 weeks ago. Aid workers say the shipment, which is just a fraction of the nearly 30,000 tons of aid that have been positioned near the crossing for days, is insufficient to address an unprecedented humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Former President Trump's lawyer Michael Cohen says he'll return to New York next week to testify in a civil fraud trial after his initial court appearance was delayed due to a medical issue. He's scheduled to testify on Tuesday. A judge has ruled that Trump and his businesses committed fraud by falsely inflating and deflating the value of its assets in order to lower taxes and receive better insurance coverage. The Israeli government is increasing its travel warnings, advising its people not to travel to Egypt and Jordan and avoid all non-essential travel to the North African country of Morocco and all Muslim nations. Skip Kelly, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
We're back with more Free Talk Live. And it's talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160. That number is 603-283-6160. And you can call in with whatever is on your mind. With you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
And I want to say thanks to Sean Paul. He's a silver level amplifier. An amplifier is a person who helps amplify, market, and promote and support Free Talk Live. Silver means he gives more, he gives $5 a month, and we really appreciate that. To learn more and learn how you can become a member of the AMPS program, there are some benefits that you'll get for helping amplify, market, promote, and support the show. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And thank you again, Sean Paul. Going back to this Wall Street Journal article, I guess we haven't really started it yet, but it's about the younger generation especially. They're calling in sick more than they used to, and some employers say it's costing them money. Well, I guess we did. We read the first article. Our first paragraph here. They say that COVID-19 is part of the reason why, because people have, there's been a rise in illnesses. I guess I could kind of believe that there
whatever
have been
their excuses.
A well, rise in illnesses.
Okay, to be fair, there almost certainly is a rise in illnesses. Like, we really screwed people up by, oh, I don't know, taking away their faces.
Yeah, yeah.
Telling them they weren't allowed to go outside. Like, yeah, that's going to have some echoes for a little while of screwing up people's health.
I want to see if we can take this call. It's okay. The GCL inmate call.
Dial 1-866-607-6006.
It's not letting me do anything. Usually you can kind of press 1. Are you there, caller?
Should have screened it during the break.
No, he didn't start calling until just now.
Oh, okay. Your fault, caller.
Well, I don't think I can do anything. Close. It started telling me to press some or call some number. So if you're calling in, mystery inmate, I'm sorry I tried, but I can't really take the call unless you do it during the break, possibly. Well, but even then, I'm not sure if I can.
There's no more breaks.
No, yeah, you can't call in again tonight. But
too late.
Talking about too tomorrow late, or something. Anyways. More people are calling out from work. It says, for one, more workers are using up sick time, often for reasons such as mental health.
See?
And
they're not even sick.
Well, last night, okay.
They're sick in the head.
The reason maybe. I wanted to get into this article, and I thought it was so funny, is last night, my sister and I was telling Richie Rich this before the break, and I don't really mind telling the radio. And at first, I felt like last night when I was in the thick of being scared, I was thinking, like, I can't tell anyone this. It's going to, like, cause my house to be, like, listening and my house to start having haunted things happen. But let me just, long story short, my sister and I were falling asleep. She was sleeping on the couch in my room. So my room set up kind of like a foyer, a door, and then an actual bedroom, but my door was open, like both doors were open, or the door in between was open, sorry. And I woke up to a voice, and she woke up to the voice, and she immediately said, Bonnie, were you talking? And I was like, no, I was asleep. And she said she swears that she heard my voice say, I'm back.
Well. And during the last break, Bonnie thought she heard me call her back to the studio from wherever she was.
I know you said something.
I did not address you at all.
No, I swear you said, okay. Like, Bonnie, when were you born or something, if it wasn't.
That was peakless when you walked back into the room.
No, it was right before then. Maybe you, I just heard you guys talking. Maybe I just thought it was your voice. But nothing
or maybe
else.
Maybe it was.
We were definitely talking, but you were not being summoned.
Nothing else haunted has been happening in my house. Okay. I really refuse
maybe
to believe that.
Maybe it was
that.
Just some unusual quantum interference there. You got some, like, time-traveling sound waves.
Man. Is this some interstellar stuff?
Yeah, maybe.
That'd be kind of cooler than, you know.
Or the past.
Okay.
That would be cooler than a ghost. Like, I don't know.
No, that's one of my explanations for some of the ghost activity, is just you're experiencing unusual quantum phenomena.
I mean, that
the
totally
Hans Hermann Hoppe book startly protrudes from the shelf to make sure you grab that next in your libertarian reading.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyways, so because of that,
a skip, a jump, and a Hans Hermann Hoppe.
They must be physically removed.
Well, we were, like, scared after that happened, so I told my sister, like, just come get in bed with me. Like, I'm too creeped out now to be alone
in
here now.
From the Commonwealth on this one.
Oh my gosh. So she stayed in my bed last night, and we were, like, awake for, like, a whole extra hour because of this, because we were just, like, freaked out. And the reason is because we've been watching Sam and Colby videos, and I totally don't mind, like, shouting them out. I love Sam and Colby. And, you know, that makes me Gen Z.
Except that they're scary.
Yeah, they go and
you know who
they're
these
YouTubers.
People are?
I have no earthly idea.
See, that makes me Gen Z, I
will
say.
Always think of you as Gen Z.
Yay. So,
even though the Census Bureau doesn't.
If it's
no,
not the
Census
sweet
Bureau
life
does.
Of
it's Wikipedia that doesn't.
Oh, it's, I just looked it up. And the Census Bureau calls it all the way until the millennium, which makes a certain kind of sense.
Well, yeah. Not
you're
really, if you think
until
of
the
like.
Millennium?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seriously, people in 1999 are not millennials. Like, my little brother was born in 1999. There's even a big difference between him and I was born in 1996. But anyways.
Well, I mean, boomer's definitely a state of mind, so.
Yes, it is. It totally is.
Like, that's a fact. You can say, okay, boomer, to someone who wasn't actually born during the baby boom.
I've done it.
That's true.
It's meaningful as a statement.
Yes.
I also think of my friends that happen to be boomers as not boomers, or I always had, because I said, like, jokingly about someone else, I was like, okay, boomer, about someone we were talking about, and they were all like, we're boomers. And I was like, wait, really? I didn't think of them as boomers.
Let's talk about this for a minute, because it vaguely relates to the article that we're reading. Right? There was some other piece of show prep in the host channel where some people were homeless and living in a tent, and oh my gosh, woe on them. Right, and the boomer in the group stuff's like, by the time I was 12, I had a job, and I've worked my entire life, and why don't these people just go out and get a job and work hard for a living? Like,
he didn't mention that he wasn't getting paid for the job at 12, except in comic books.
Either way, like, on this show, right, we have talked about how raising the minimum wage has priced those people out of the job market altogether.
Right.
Because they can't get them. Yeah. Right. And his suggestion to this, like, homeless teen was, just go get a job, you lazy. Like, why are these Lungans so lazy today? Well, when I was 12, I just went out and got a job.
And
because it's illegal to give them a job where you pay what they're worth.
Right. Which is an argument we make on the air.
Right.
All the time.
And technically he's Gen X, so totally boomer is a state of mind. Basically,
That's why I said boomer's a state of mind.
The whole reason
totally
I brought
boomer-y.
Up the ghost activity in my house is to say my sister called off work simply because she was too scared to go to work and, like, get
way
up
to
in the
put
dark.
On blast on national air now.
I doubt that those people are listening.
Twist the knife, Bonnie.
No, and I don't
think
she'd care.
We know who the knock in this room is.
I don't think she'd care, and I doubt her bosses are listening. But we do have a caller on the line. I just noticed.
Well, I just wanted to say real quick, like, if you look at the suicide rates, yeah, people are sick. They need their mental health.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would rather kill myself than go work at Walmart again. Kevin from Florida, are you still there? Are you on the line?
I'm still here, Bonnie. I'm still here. It's good to hear you guys. They've been covering football for the past couple of weekends.
Oh,
and I've been missing listening to you folks at night down here.
What's
a very interesting conversation. I like that stuff you guys were talking about with the Argentinian
Javier
information.
Millet.
Yeah.
You know, something, I had a chance when I was in a place where I really didn't want to be for a while to read a bunch of books from a place called Gutenberg.org, which I think I mentioned to you folks once before.
Yeah, that's what they give them in jail. Ian just found out about it, and it's still out there. They give it to the prisoners in jail, and it's really cool because it's everything that doesn't have copyright anymore. So you can read, like...
And most importantly... It's everything you could ever want to know. For example, the book, Argentina, Legend and History, which I read, is book number 49112 at Gutenberg.org, where you have 60,000 plus books that anybody can download. I actually have the text for it on my computer. 570 pages.
Yeah, it's a nice view of what an IP-free world would look like.
And that's what it's supposed to be. Very correct. What is Ian's address up there in Keene? Do you guys have that? Because I don't.
He's
are
not
you
Keene.
Not allowed to give it on the?
Well, he's not in Keene anymore since he's in jail. But I can give you the website where you can find it. It's if you go to freekeene.com. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to give you the whole address over the phone.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. I was just interested in the zip code and stuff up there in Keene to send some information up to you folks. But another book that I found, which is very apropos of your other caller, who is discussing the history, the modern history of the Democrat Party.
Hmm.
When you go to a few books from the 1860s and 1870s, which are contemporaneous to that time frame, specifically the Reconstruction. One of the books that I read is called Picture of the Desolated States and Restoration of the Republic from 1866. Where are you going to find a book like that? Over 200 and some odd pages. Book number 55127.
Hey, what'd you learn
All
in that
these
book?
These wonderful people... Yeah, what I found in that book was the actual, I think it was chapter 16 or 56, I forget which chapter it was. There was a lot of chapters in the book. Discussed when the actual Democrat Party became a force and a power behind the those who thought they had the right to kill and murder by, you know, using trees and ropes and all the rest of that stuff, and how they used this new political force to essentially force stuff that continued into the 1920s, the 1930s, the 1940s, segregation, all of that stuff that people don't get a chance to read because, as we all know, the left and the right both like to wipe away history so that people will only hear what they're told to hear.
Mm.
Until you read the actual black and white text, well, the computer screen on these ebooks, that all of these great volunteers that work for, I'm not trying to, you know, be a shill for Gutenberg. I just am impressed that they have all these books.
Yeah, well, I would definitely agree. Gutenberg.org is an interesting thing. It's pretty fun because Ian and I can read. Thank you for the call, Kevin. But Ian and I, him being a prisoner right now, can read something together and then discuss it. We haven't, like, started that yet since he's gotten a fair amount of books sent to him. And thank you to anyone who has sent him books because that's, you know, one of his only things to do. He also has a kind of like a friend in there who has a Wall Street Journal. Is that the expensive one? Like, he has a Wall Street Journal subscription.
New York Times.
I think he has both.
Okay.
And he's sharing them with Ian, so Ian's like keeping up with those, and he's even like giving me some show prep that he's wanted me to cover.
Nice.
So yeah, it has that to do in there. Moving on back to this article.
Also, just pirate books. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just find the pirate site for all the books
if
and audio
jail.
Books. If you're not in jail.
Well, I mean, just to tag on to what he was saying there at the end, a lot of people don't realize that there's a direct connection between the Ku Klux Klan and the Democratic Party, where the KKK was essentially the militant arm of that political party.
Mm-hmm.
And they really are doing the same thing that they used to do, just in a slightly different way.
Now they just call them Antifa.
Right. Instead of considering black people to be, you know, awful, horrible, dangerous people, it's we must consider them people who can't possibly get along on their own without our help.
They say it.
Yeah.
They tweet that out.
Right.
As if it's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just different kinds of racism.
Yep. I've always heard that the Ku Klux Klan was part of the Democratic Party when it first came out. The main thing
check
is
the wiki. It's true.
I believe it totally. The main thing is just being part of one or the other of those sides. You're just, you know, asking those in power to take from others and give to you and your group, and it's just like kind of gross no matter which side you're coming from. So I don't know. I don't have like a favorite side. But we're talking about people not being in the mood to work and the consequences that is coming out with for employers, and I do feel bad for them, honestly. Like, as much as I was, like, complaining about jobs, like, I do feel bad for people who are just trying to run their businesses and stuff like this happening now.
Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Because there's motivation and incentives to get people to show up for work. And if people are calling out sick or using an abundance of time or quitting the job, right, they're improperly motivated and incentivized. Right, like I talked to my boss about this because we run a remote crew of workers that do like telemarketing in general, right? And he goes, like, did you know that, you know, at some point money stops being a motivator, so we got to like give these people something else, you know, to motivate them to work. I go, yeah, that's for like wealthy people, right? At some point money stops being a motivator, but we pay like very low rates comparatively to other places. Right? Money's the motivator.
Yeah, money's the motivator.
If you're like entry level, money's the motivator.
Yeah, and if you ask people, almost exclusively, they will say, yeah, I don't care about the benefits. I don't care about the holiday sick paid leave. I care about getting pizza parties. Good Lord.
Is that what he's asking?
I care about money.
We've ordered pizza, but our staff is mostly remote, so pizza party doesn't really work.
Oh, yeah.
But my point is, like, at some point when you're wealthy enough, money stops being a motivator.
Yeah.
But it's marginal utility at that point. Like, we'll give you an extra $500 this year. Like, I don't really need the extra $500. All my bills are paid. I got what I want. I want the time off in lieu of the $500, right? Like, my time is more valuable than that. And that is not true at the entry-level positions that most of the Generation Z is starting to find themselves in as they enter the workforce.
Right.
And the money that they're making, as noted, is highly inflated. They're getting no value for it, right? They're not going to go anywhere, you know, from those positions because it just there's no room, you know. There's no room
but that's
up because
why
everyone's
I feel
taken apart.
Bad for employers because a lot of it isn't their fault. Like, if they're paying a correct wage, it's going to be the wrong wage, like, in a month with inflation.
Then give people a raise in a month.
Yeah, I guess you just keep giving them raises. I've never ran my own business, but
I mean, at some point you can't, right? And then you just go out of business, or you deal with this, right?
Well, and unfortunately, what tends to happen is that people are used to paying a certain amount for a certain employee, and they're not willing to give them that raise because, well, why should I? And what happens is, well, when the money gets printed and all the prices have gone up, that employee then has to quit that job, go somewhere else, because they're not used to paying them that.
Yep.
And then it all starts over again later on when we've printed more money.
I suggested that too. I'm like, you cannot replace me for the price you're paying me.
Right.
No one applying for my job now will take the wage that I accepted a year ago.
And the other thing about it is, like, there aren't that many people out there working, like, at all. My sister got a job within, like, 3 days of getting here. Then she got hired at another job. And then the first job was, like, competing, like, saying, wait, don't quit, we'll do this. And she ended up going with the other one anyway. Like, she kind of has, like, the pick of the job. So if one of them is
unemployment is low in New Hampshire.
Yeah. Well, really?
Yep.
Well, it's weird because there's like tons of help wanted signs, and she's just getting any job she wants.
Right, because unemployment is low, so there's an excess amount of jobs.
Oh yeah.
So there's an excess amount of jobs, right? People like your sister who are applying, right? If company A wants her services, they have to take her away from company B because there's not enough people looking for jobs in New Hampshire at the moment.
It's just like, if you're going to do crappy things, like have her be there at 6 a.m. just because you guys want to leave at 8 p.m. every night, like this grocery store she's working for right now, everyone is out. Everyone in the building is gone by 8 p.m., but they get there at 6 a.m. to start stocking things that have just been sitting there all night. Why don't she just stay till 10? No one wants to wake up at 6 a.m., so she's probably going to quit that job because that just sucks so bad.
Right. And so in her situation, right, she is sitting in the power for negotiating.
Right.
She can demand the hours she wants. She can demand the pay she wants, or they don't get her services.
Right.
And if she's worth it, they pay. If not, she goes somewhere else, and they'll be happy to have her because she's got experience and whatever and doing whatever thing. There's, again, the unemployment being low and the jobs so abundantly available means that to get the highest quality individuals here in New Hampshire, you got to buy them from somebody else. You got to convince them to leave their current job and give them enough to take yours.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of businesses just won't be proactive on these things.
Right.
They will only start to change things when it becomes an emergency. Like, if your company can't replace you at what they're paying you, they still won't pay you more.
Right.
They'll just wait until it's a crisis because you've left. Then they end up having to pay more than you were going to ask anyway.
Right. And the company that I work at is facing that exact scenario in a different department.
Well, and this is it's a recurring problem of all of humanity, that we tend not to make the changes that would be beneficial when they're easy to make.
Yep.
We only start to move after it's a crisis.
Yeah, that type of thing that it seems like people do a lot, which is so dumb, but I see it time and time again, is just, like, go the cheapest route when you know that more like when you're buying a product, like, oh, I could buy the best version of this, a medium one, or a crappy one. And, like, going with the crappy one just because it's least expensive, but you'll have to buy it again,
again
when it breaks.
This is a problem with poverty, right? I'm at a place in my life now that I can afford good things. So my mentality is buy once, cry once. Right? I will buy the top of the line. I will keep it forever.
Right.
You can't do that if you're broke and poor. Right.
That's
you buy what you can afford, and then it breaks, and then you have to spend more money because you didn't have enough up front to get the good stuff. And that's a poverty cycle of its own.
Right.
But why don't you just get the good stuff the first time? Because you couldn't afford it the first time.
Right.
You could only afford this, and now you can only afford this again. and you never cycle out of it as long as they're inflating it away and keeping everyone poor.
And this article does kind of immediately go to insulting young people. It says, and unlike older workers who might have been loath to call in sick for fear of seeming weak or unreliable, younger workers feel more entitled to take full advantage of the benefits they've been given.
Yeah.
Executive.
How dare you feel entitled to what we offered you?
Right.
Different job market. Right, older workers, they needed to keep that job. They only had one job their whole life. They retired. They got a pension.
Right.
Right. You suffered through all that so you could retire in 20 years.
Yeah, and they expected their company to be loyal to them. It is absolutely mind-blowing.
Well, back then they were. Right? You got your 20 years, you got your watch, you got a pension, and you were retired by the time you were 45.
Right. Yeah, whereas the modern world, like, the closest you're going to get is they're going to keep you for 19 years, then fire you so that they don't have to give you a watch.
The world has changed. And knowing that, right, millennials go like, well, I'm not going to stay 19 years, knowing that they're going to dispose of me at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to take full advantage of everything they offer until they stop offering, and then I'll go someplace else and do the same there.
It says, so far this year, 30% of white-collar workers with access to paid leave have taken sick time, up from 21% in 2019. According to data from payroll and benefits software company Gusto, employees between ages 25 and 34 are taking sick days most often, with their use rates jumping 45% from before the pandemic. Some employers, such as Stellantis, complains such worker absences are driving up the costs. The Detroit car maker has repeatedly brought up the issue as contract talks with the United Auto Workers proceed, saying it lost 10.9% of hourly worker time in 2022 because of unplanned absenteeism.
That almost seems like scapegoating the workers for prices that are going to have to go up in the future.
Hmm.
Right? They won't blame the government because they're getting the cushy government benefits and handouts.
Right.
Right? And they can't blame the customers because, hey, that's a bad marketing strategy. But it's the workers' fault that our prices are going up. If we could keep our costs down and they would show up to work, then you would get a more cost-effective and efficient vehicle.
I mean, it's almost like those workers are motivated by higher costs.
Go figure.
It says, before the pandemic, Darren Smith wrestled through any illness. At one point, the 50-year-old project manager fell asleep at work while on medication for a shattered ankle, waking up to the keyboard indentations on his face. Then on 2020, he was laid off, and that was his epiphany. The thing about it is, maybe one good thing about COVID was people realizing, maybe if I'm sick, I should stay home because spreading sickness is bad. Like, I think it's so stupid when people get actually contagiously sick and go to work where other people are.
It is. If you get sick, stay home and wash your hands.
Yeah. Gotta get the paycheck. Can't afford to miss a day, man.
Thank you for listening to Free Talk Live. It's Talk Radio You Control, and we'll be back tomorrow. Peace.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family. family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.